Praise his name. We're going to talk about peace and being a peacemaker this morning. Peacemakers. Last week I talked to you about what it means to have peace and how we can have peace. We talked about the things that will rob us of peace. We talked about envy and strife and sin and those kind of things that rob us of peace. And we want it, but we often let those things come into our lives and we lose peace because we don't follow God's way. And then I gave you some principles of how we can not only retain, but restore, but retain the peace of God. Learning how to seek him in prayer. Learning how to study his word and to memorize his word. Learning how to pray so that the peace of God guards our hearts and minds. Becomes that sentry to fend off those thoughts. And I tell you, it's a powerful thing when you preach things like that. This week, even though I was enjoying some good times, was maybe one of the least peaceful weeks I've had. You know how God works? You start to work on something in your life, and it's like this avalanche of opposition comes. And it's God saying, okay, let's test this out. Let's test this one out and see how you do. And it was a really, really difficult week. But I want to guarantee you something, that though it was a battle, God's peace does surpass understanding. And when you trust him, he's faithful. He always is. He never said life is easy. But he said life will be full of joy when you serve and you work God's way. So this morning, I want to take us a step further, that God has told us not just to have peace, but to be a dispenser of peace. He didn't tell us just to enjoy my peace and just relax and bask in my love. He said, I want you to be a peacemaker. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Sons of God. I have a son. Many times people have said, oh, I know he's your son. He acts just like you. He looks just like you. That makes me proud. Peacemakers are known as sons of God because they act like their father. They look like their father in how they behave, what they say, what they do, how they think. God is a peacemaker. He's the Prince of Peace. And his children, his sons, his daughters are to be peacemakers as well. When you're a peacemaker, you are identified as a son of God. Back in the 60s, the peace movement. How many remember? You were there. Some of you only know it because of a movie you saw. Or you saw some guy with a beard and a tie-dyed shirt. Maybe his name was something. Maybe he had no beard, but maybe his name was Don Zonick. And you go, oh, I know the 60s by watching that guy. I know exactly what the 60s were all about. Yeah, dude. But there was this mantra about peace. Make peace, not war. There was a song that was popular. All we are saying is give peace a chance. And they'd say it over and over and over again. Like by saying it over and over, it was going to happen or something. John Lennon wrote a song. Many of you know it. It's very popular. The lyrics go like this. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Every time I hear that song, my spine tingles. Because I see those lyrics and I read the Word of God and I think to myself, there can't be more of a deception than those words. Imagine if there's no heaven, there's no God, there's no structure, there's no authority, there's no people of God. Let's just remove all of that and then we'll all be in peace. That's a lie from the devil. That's an absolute 100% lie. God is God. He came to bring peace. And he came to make us peacemakers. But we're going to learn today that peace sometimes doesn't come peacefully. The peace that we have with God today did not come peacefully. It came on a cross. It came violently. It came with broken body and shed blood, as we shared with communion today. There was a very high price paid for the peace that we enjoy. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that when people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come. Because you see, there isn't peace and safety without the Lord Jesus Christ. We learned that last week. You can search and you can search and you can search. You can search anywhere you want to search. Without Jesus, it will be an empty, futile search. John Lennon found that out when in 1980 the bullet pierced his body. I'm not happy about that. That's a soul that Jesus Christ died for. That's a life. No one should ever be happy, even when a person who is opposed to God loses their life. That's another victory for the enemy. But in the midst of crying out for a peace opposed to God, what happens when you're opposed to God happened to him. We're to be peacemakers, church. Do we always act like that? I shudder sometimes to watch the banter back and forth on social media or even in the news or even from what pastors will say on a national level. And I shudder to think that's not going to help us. We're to be peacemakers. But sometimes peace doesn't come peacefully. In the Hebrew, the word, or rather, for the Hebrews, when it says that they will be called sons of God, oftentimes a person would be named his name and then the son of. So if, maybe if I was a Hebrew, my son would be named Eric, son of Greg. That would be very appropriate. And even sometimes our names follow that way. If your name is Johnson, it started that way. You're John's son, or Thompson. You're Tom's son, somewhere in, back in the generations. And oftentimes, people would be called sons of, and then a quality attached to them. Like James and John in the New Testament, they were called the sons of thunder, describing their personality. Or Barnabas, the son of encouragement, describing his personality. What a great thing to be called sons of God, describing our personality. What a compliment. What a wonderful thing to have said about you. That there's Don, son of God. There's Gina and Helen, son of God. There's Louis, son of God. Could there be any greater thing said about you? That's your character. That's your personality. Church, sons of God are peacemakers. There's an identifiable characteristic about you when you're a son of God. A peacemaker is one who makes peace between two opposing parties to establish right relationships between man and man. That's what a peacemaker does. Peacemaker doesn't stir up drama. Peacemaker doesn't stir up gossip and division and anger between people. A peacemaker brings unity and brings peace between two opposing parties. A peacemaker is a mediator. Jesus was the ultimate mediator who stood between us and God and took God's hand, the Father, and our hand and brought us together. Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Maybe you've heard that word. That word means everything which makes for a man's highest good. When you're a peacemaker, you're working for shalom. You're working for everything which makes for man's highest good. That's a pretty lofty goal, but that's what a peacemaker does. There are four relationships in a peacemaker's life. Actually, there are four relationships in all of our lives. Let me explain those to you. The first is a peacemaker has peace with God. A peacemaker has peace with God. The question has to be asked, do you have today peace with God? Oh, yes, I know God loves me. I know he sacrificed for me. Well, yeah, okay, that's true. That's from God's direction to us. But do we have peace with God? Are we able to stand before God, look him right in the eye, and say, we're good? Or is it difficult to look him in the eye today? Because you know there are some things that have happened or that are in your life presently that you know that he knows ought not to be there. A peacemaker has peace with God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The first step in having peace with God is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Many of us have done that. So therefore, you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. But there's a continual need to keep us in peace with God. Not in an internal sense, but in a daily walking out sense. How many know that you can be married but not be at peace with your spouse? Yeah? True? Okay. In all relationships, you can be together but not be at peace. We're together if we're saved, we're Christians, but not be at peace with God because of things in our life. I guarantee you this, it's never God that did it wrong. It's always us. Job chapter 22, 21 says this, submit to God and be at peace with Him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Say those first three words with me. Submit to God. Say it again. Submit to God. That's how you maintain the peace. If you're living at all in disobedience to God, if you're living at all counter to His word, you won't have peace with God. It's not possible. Only submission to Him will bring you peace with God. And then the prosperity of God follows that. His joy, His love, His fulfillment, all the things that we crave. Peace with God comes. There is no peace without peace with God. You can go to church and not have peace with God. I've been there. This might make you nervous to tell you, but I have stood up here, preached sermons, encouraged you to be at peace with God, and I myself was not at peace with God. In the years of serving here, there are days when I dreaded standing here because I knew that my own stubbornness has kept me distant from the Father. And I guarantee you, there's not many more horrible places to be. You may never have to be there to stand as His voice before a group of people and know in your heart, what are you doing up there? You can come to church and not have peace with God. You can go to classes and give in the offering, and you can do all kinds of religious acts and still not be at peace with God, because peace with God is determined by your submission to God. Always is, always will be. That perfect peace only comes through repentance. Right now, right now as I'm talking, if you're thinking, he's right, I don't have peace with God, it's as easy and as quick as just turning around. That's what the word repentance means. We talked about the oppositeness during communion, that you're going this way. Repentance says, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to get back in line with God's way. Even right now as I'm talking, you can pray in the quietness of your heart and say, God, I want to go your way because I want peace with you. Peacemakers also have peace with themselves. Peace with themselves. Without raising hands, without acknowledging, do you have peace with yourself? Are you good with you? Are you content with who you are, what you're doing, the path you're on? Do you have peace with you? Scripture says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This week for me was a battle. It really was. Not a battle in any kind of spiritual way. There was some stuff. I was sick and things went kind of haywire. And I really had to wrestle with being at peace. Because I thought in my heart, last week was a great week. Lord, last week was so good. I was just pouring into your word. I was one of the best weeks in prayer. One of the best weeks in the Bible that I've had really in quite a while. And I thought, man, I'm on such a roll right now. And then get this brick wall. You ever been there? Things like, and then you start saying, God, wait a minute. It's the equation. I thought it was an equation. I thought, be a good boy and God will bless you. Be, read and pray a lot and you won't get sick. Just study God's word and memorize it and everything's going to go great. And I'm so stupid. That's, God is not equational. God is relational. And God is about teaching us and showing us. And I had to battle through that all week long, saying, wait a minute, no matter how I feel, God is good. No matter what I'm going through, I can be at peace with Him. My body can be frustrated and upset, but I can be in my spirit at perfect peace with my Savior. And I read the scripture during the week. And I like to read Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. And Oswald said it better. He said, God is not interested necessarily, primarily, in our happiness or health. He's interested in our holiness. And I read that and it just slapped me. Said, God, my holiness is first. My health and happiness come underneath that. And when I submitted that and got it in order, the peace of God was restored. And it guarded my mind the rest of the week. His peace will guard your mind. Isaiah 26:3. He will keep you in perfect peace. He whose mind is steadfast on the Lord because he trusts in the Lord. When your mind is focused on the Lord, you have peace in your own heart. Have you been focusing on negativity? Have you been focusing on violence? Have you been focusing on lustful things, sexuality? Have you been focusing on power or money or even good things Jesus talks about? Focusing on just your own stuff. When you focus on those things, you find your peace just being siphoned away. But when your mind is stayed on Him, there's perfect peace. Remember our scripture from last week, Colossians 3:15? Who remembers it? Colossians 3:15 starts with let. Anybody remember? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Remember that. Write it down. Commit it to memory. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God what? Rule. The peace of God is a commander. Let it be the commander. Let it be the general. Let it be the dictator of your life. Let the peace of God rule. When you do, you have peace in your own heart, in your own mind. Number three, relationship. Peacemakers bring peace between God and others. That's what they do. That's the relationship. You stand as that mediator, that go-between. And that's what we do. We bring people together with God. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's your job. That's what he called us to do. A peacemaker says, I know God. You need to know God. Because that's life. Why would we not want to give eternal life to the people in our lives that don't have it? Why are we so reluctant to say, oh, I'm so thankful that I have God's eternal life, but I'm going to keep it to myself? That is the most unloving thing we could ever do. How can we take the amazing, wonderful story of the gospel and say, mine, 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 all mine, and not give it away? That's a peacemaker's relationship, is to give that away and to show that love. And there's ways to do that. Ways to love and ways to give and ways to share. Some of the most heavy things on my heart are times when I can remember vividly when I felt God speak to me about sharing with someone and I didn't do it. And now I just don't know what happened. I dread to get to eternity someday and not see a couple of people that I'm thinking about right now not be there. Because I got full of myself, or I got scared, or I got worried about rejection, and I didn't speak and share the gospel with someone. I didn't love them the way the Lord would have me love them. That's what a peacemaker does. A fourth relationship is peacemakers bring peace between people and each other. Not only between God and them, but between each other. If you're a person who constantly finds yourself in the middle of a conflict, I would wonder why. You're a peacemaker. Why are you always in the middle of a conflict? And I'm talking about in the middle of it to bring peace. I'm talking about, yeah, you're part of the conflict. You know those, you know, folks, maybe you're one of them, but there are some people who just always seem to be in the drama. You know what I mean? You know, right? I know they're always, why are you always in the drama? Why does there always seem to be chaotic things happening with certain people? Other people seem to never have that. Ouch. Can't remember my name. Other people, I don't know why you thought that was funny. You just kind of warped people as blood gushes out of my head. Some people just are never in it. They're just peaceful. They're just always cheerful. I read in Proverbs this week, you know, the scripture says in Proverbs very often, be cheerful. I thought cheerful was a personality trait. It isn't. It's a choice. It isn't. It's a choice. Be cheerful. I thought, I'm going to work on that. No matter where I am, I'm going to work on being cheerful. There's always something to praise God about. Those people don't often find themselves in the middle of the chaos. It's those that have dwelt on the negativity, that have dwelt on the judgmental, that have dwelt on the critical, that have dwelt on the cynical, that they always find something wrong. Hey, isn't this great? Yeah, well, it's not so great. Oh, I just saw this wonderful thing. Really? Well, I don't know about that. We don't need any more Eeyores in our life. Amen? Why do we need that? Maybe you find yourself being one of those. That's not a peacemaker. A peacemaker brings people to each other and allows them to enjoy each other. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Make every effort. Say those words with me. Make every effort. That's work, right? That's work. How many know you got to work at being at peace with some people? Some people are easy to be at peace with. Oh, man, just surround yourself with those people. You love being with them. Other people, you're going in the grocery store and you see one of those at the other end of the aisle and you're like going, oh, heck no, you ditch. You go around the other side. I know you do it because I do it. See some grumpy person that you know is just going to be a downer and just a joy sucker. And you just, oh, no, I don't need it to go to the bread aisle, but that's where I'm going right now. Some people are easy to live at peace with. Others, not so much. The sons of God are peacemakers and not to be easy. Romans 14:19 says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which may edify each other. Edify means build up. Don't you like being around people that build up other people? Isn't it nice to come into a room and somebody says nice things? And, oh, you look great. Oh, how's it going? Oh, you're so encouraging. Oh, you know, every time I see you, I just feel better about myself. I love those kind of people. They're cheerful. And then there's the others that they can find a dark cloud in every silver lining. They just can. They have an ability to bring negativity no matter where they're at. It's a talent. Some things you couldn't possibly find a negative. They can find it. Make every effort to pursue the things which bring peace. It's a choice. It's not always easy. We have to think about it. And even in relationships that might be contentious, we have to find ways to pursue and to make every effort to live in peace. Because that's what a peacemaker does. Those are the relationships of a peacemaker. Well, what about the characteristics? There are four characteristics I want to bring out, and then we're going to close. These are important. The reason these are important, because as I'm talking about peacemaking, there's a real easy tendency to think that I'm talking about peace loving. Well, I'm confused, Pastor. No, I'll explain. There's a difference between being a peacemaker and a peace lover. Say, what is that? I don't understand that. Isn't peace loving good? Well, it is good, except in the context in which I'm teaching this, a peace lover will say, I want peace in spite of or at all costs. If Jesus wanted peace at all costs, he'd have never gone to the cross because it wasn't peaceful. If Jesus wanted peace at all costs, he would have never confronted the Pharisees because it wasn't peaceful. Sometimes peace comes with a cost. Number one, peacemakers are not passive. Peacemakers are not passive. Peacemakers are not those who look the other way to have peace at any cost. Sometimes you've got to go through a difficult time to ultimately have peace. True? How many parents know this? You know this, right? This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. That's realizing that you want peace at the end. I'll never forget the battles we had with our kids. Because we knew if we didn't battle at early ages, we were not going to have peace at latter ages. And we wanted to be able to dominate them as a 2-year-old, because when they're 20, it's harder to dominate them. Way harder. You can't tell them what to do then. They're adults. Remember looking at little Laura, maybe 4 years old. I'm sitting in her high chair. Little Eric would come, 18 months younger, coming. And she just got food. I think she smeared it on him and then said something to him. And I saw, no, that's not going to happen. Grabbed that little curly-headed beauty and took her to her room and sat her down on her bed. Said, you are never going to do that again. She sat there and she just gave me that look like, oh, you just watch me. And said, well, you're going to sit here until you say you're sorry. Let her sit in there. To her, it was an hour. It was actually about 2 minutes. Brought her back in, sat her in her chair. Eric, come on over. Laura, say you're sorry. She sat there. Fine, going back to the room. Took her back to the room. You can sit here all night. I don't care. I'll sit here all night with you. You're going to sit here until you say you're sorry. An hour, 2 minutes later. Bring her back out. Say you're sorry. I kid you not, this went on for about an hour and a half. Until she figured out, dude, that is stubborn. He is not going to back down. He is going to fight me. This will be horrible. I better just give in. And finally, she said she was sorry. And then there was peace. And we could love and laugh and giggle, but it came at a price. After about 45 minutes, I'm thinking, just say you're sorry. I'm wearing a whole pathway in this carpet going back and forth. Just come on. But there's a battle to fight. And sometimes you fight the battle in the present to gain the long-term peace. And now the daughter is 26 and such a ray of sunshine. And I remember those battles. I thank God for the battle that won the peace so that now we can live in peace. And we in our nation have seen some of those, not always righteously, but sometimes we understand that there's a fight that needs to be fought in order to gain peace. Peacemakers are not passive. They're not passive. Sometimes you have to step into a place that's difficult and be active. Number two, peacemakers are not willing to have short-term peace at any cost. Sometimes we just want to let it go. And you've often heard the innate, oh, I forgot to say this. Do you procrastinate dealing with hard situations or avoid them altogether in order to keep the peace? That's not a peacemaker. Oh, it's okay. Just let it go. No, that's not peace. That's just going to perpetuate and end in destruction later. Are you one of those that kind of just distances yourself from hard times? Don't. Jesus didn't. And I'm so glad he didn't. Number two, peacemakers are not willing to have short-term peace at any cost. We use the word enabler a lot. An enabler is one that allows someone to carry on in a negative behavior just to keep the peace, to avoid the confrontation. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ was willing to confront sin? He was not willing to allow short-term peace to dictate so that long-term peace would be sacrificed. We stand here today, 2,000 and something years after Jesus went to the cross, and we still can have peace with God because he decided it's better to go through the conflict. It's better to sacrifice. It's better to suffer, even for a short term, because long-term peace is the goal. And the story about parenting with Laura is very similar. It's worth it. Sometimes you got to look at somebody in the eye and say, we got to talk. Sometimes in marriage, sometimes in parenting, sometimes in friendships, sometimes in your work situation, you've got to sit down and you have to say, it's time. We got to figure this out. Because it's not worth just going over and over, pretending it's peaceful when it isn't. Peacemakers don't give up long-term peace for short-term peace. Let me ask you, do you forfeit long-term resolve because you want peace now? This happens a lot in our parenting. Oh, just let him go. I'm tired of fighting him. I'm tired of fighting her. Dumb parenting. They're going to learn and they're going to grow and it's going to be bad. Maybe your employee. Oh, I don't want to. I just don't have time to deal with it. Okay. Then you're going to suffer a greater consequence later. You can never sacrifice long-term peace for short-term comfort. Peacemakers understand that. Number three, peacemakers are proactive. Proactive as compared to reactive. The reactive person reacts to stimulus that confronts him. He's out of control. It happens and they react in a certain way. A proactive person sees it ahead of time, plans for that, and then moves with strategic thinking. A proactive person takes control of his sphere of influence. Jesus Christ was the most proactive person who ever lived on the planet, ever. He always knew ahead of time. He always saw something happen, and he always took control of the situation so that it became redemptive. Always. We have to live, make every effort to live, to pursue peace at all times. When we do that, when we have that mentality, then we're living proactively, that we're looking for opportunities for peace. We're looking for opportunities to bring people together and to bring people to God. We're always, our mind is turning to what are the opportunities. Jesus was like that. That's why on a road through a city, he could look up in a tree and see a little guy named Zacchaeus and already have a plan. He could go into a city and see a funeral procession going through and already have a plan and raise that person back to life. Because he was already thinking, already moving, already thinking, I'm a person of peace. You're a person of peace. You're a peacemaker. Do you think about how you might bring peace to your workplace? How you might bring peace to your family? How you might bring peace to your immediate home? How you might bring peace to your neighborhood? There's plenty of conflict. There's tons of conflict. You can find that everywhere. But where are the peacemakers? Those people are proactive. They see the potential harm and they head it off. I love people who pursue peace by engaging in random acts of kindness. And they're not random at all. They're just random to the person receiving it. But to the person giving it, it wasn't random. That was planned. When you receive a card or a gift or a care package, or maybe you're not feeling well and someone responds, and or just people caring for each other. That's a peacemaker. Here's what I know. The greatest way to turn an enemy into a friend is begin to love them the way the scripture says to love them and watch God melt that resistance right before you. That's what Jesus did. He loved them until they couldn't stand it anymore. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's cold, clothe him. If he strikes a cheek, turn the other. Don't answer gossip with gossip. Instead, return encouragement. Those are Jesus' words. That's what a peacemaker does. Number four, peacemakers build bridges. They don't burn them. I keep missing the last parts. Do you see the need or conflict in advance and take it upon yourself to remedy the situation? You see that ahead of time? Work on that. Pursue that. And then number four, peacemakers build bridges. They don't burn them. Are you a person who gets in a conflict and just says, whatever, just move on? Aren't you thankful that Jesus didn't whatever you? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't go, lost cause, just move on? He never does, never did. He's our God. And those who are peacemakers are sons of God. Don't be a bridge burner. Be a bridge builder. Is there a person in your life where I picture those suspension bridges, you know, like in Indiana Jones where they've got the two ropes and just the ropes start to break and pretty soon they're hanging by a thread. Maybe some of your relationships look like that. But it can be restored if you're a peacemaker. Are you a bridge burner or a bridge builder? Constantly making an effort to bring people together. Constantly making an effort to unify and to edify. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Sometimes our tongue is the greatest thing that sets things on fire. Scripture says that in James 3:6. It says the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil. What great forest fire is set ablaze by a single match? Our tongue can be like that. You know, sometimes I think email, and especially email, is one of the worst evils ever. Because we use it as an excuse to have a confrontation. And all it is a one-way monologue without having to look somebody right in the eye. Can we stop being so cowardly? I'll say it as strong as that. Let's stop being cowardly and firing off emails when we're upset at somebody, that's setting a match to the relationship. Instead, go to them as Jesus said. Look them in the eye. Give the relationship the honor it's due and say, let's talk. Stop being so afraid. It's worth it. It's worth it. Are you a bridge builder? Do you find it easy to walk away from someone to avoid confrontation rather than fighting to save the relationship? That's who we need to be. I wonder, church, if those of us here, I don't know how many are here this morning, 100 and whatever, what if we all became peacemakers? I wonder what your offices would look like. I wonder what our offices would look like. I wonder what our schools would look like. I wonder what our neighborhoods and our social clubs would look like if the Christians in this room decided, you know, I'm going to be a peacemaker because I'm a son of God. And I'm not going to give up long-term peace for short-term peace. I'm going to be proactive and pursue peace. I'm going to be a bridge builder, not a bridge burner. I wonder how life would be different. You know what I think? I think life would be more like heaven because that's what Jesus did. Scripture says this, or rather, the question is, do you have peace with God? The scripture says, for he himself is our peace. If you don't have the Lord Jesus, then you can't have peace. On this Labor Day weekend, when we celebrate and enjoy a holiday tomorrow, think about the relationships you have right now. Who among them don't have peace with God? Who among them don't have peace with others? Who among them don't have peace with you? Jesus even said this with this extremity. If you come into my house to worship and there you bring me an offering and realize that you and your brother are at odds with each other, stop worshiping. First, go make it right. Then come back and offer your gift. That's how much God thinks about being at peace with each other. Let's not pass this off. We can change the world. Not like some lyricist imagining there's no heaven, but because there is a God, we can truly have peace. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have called us to be peacemakers. I know that some of us just try to endure. We just try to manage our own heads, manage our own emotions, let alone actually reaching out to somebody else. But God, I pray that you would help us to change today. Help us to be more cheerful. Help us to be more patient. Help us to be more at peace with you and peace with ourselves. So that we can then go and pursue peace between other people, between others and you. God, I pray that you would forgive us when we have sacrificed long-term peace for short-term calm. Help us, Lord, to be willing to confront, because that will bring peace and retain it. Forgive us, Lord, when we've gotten selfish and weary of a conflict and just wanted to give in and walk away, burning a bridge. God, we need your touch and we need to be people of peace. Not only having it, but giving it. I pray in Jesus' name, Father, that you would move on our church, that we could be those kind of people. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask the question of those of us that if we have relationships in our life that we know are not at peace, and that today the steps you realize need to be taken to bring peace there. You need to pray for each other. It's important. If you would say, Pastor, I have a relationship in my life right now that is not a peaceful relationship, and I realize that I'm called to be a peacemaker, I need to go to them, have the hard conversation, regardless if they accept me or not, regardless if they receive it or not, you've told me to make every effort that today I choose to go and make that right. Would you slip up a hand? Let me pray with you. Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Thank you. All over. Thank you. Great. This is so good. So good. So many hands up. You can put them down. Thank you. This is awesome. The reason why this is awesome, because when we follow up on what you just did by raising a hand, peace is going to be restored to your life. Relationships that were broken will be restored. Not easy. Oh man, it's not easy. It's hard. It's humbling. But we're called to submit ourselves. And when we live opposite, God can then do powerful work. Father, I thank you for these hands that just went up, signifying that they are determining to make peace in a relationship that is not at peace right now. Lord, fill each one of them with your power. Fill each one of them with your love. Fill each one of them, God, with the peace that surpasses understanding that will guard their hearts and minds. Fill them, God, with an understanding that short-term conflict is not the enemy of peace, but is quite often that which brings long-term peace, like you did for us on the cross. I pray that you would encourage, strengthen, embolden everyone that raised their hands to now go today and begin the process of being a peacemaker. I thank you, God, for this awesome, awesome work and the privilege of being called a son of God. I give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.